Okay, everyone, Thursday the 21st of March, and we're back with the morning briefing. I am Hamish. Tony's with us, as is Ryan. Guys, how are we? A real Hatate-themed show today, perhaps, Ryan, right up your street.
Yeah, I can't complain with that sort of topic whatsoever. Yeah, happy, good news that emerged. First through rumours last night and then through some official sources or from official news sources that Hatate played a bounce game yesterday afternoon. Not sure how long exactly he played. I think it was around about 45 minutes. But yeah, very, very good news regarding Celtic and their midfielder. So yeah, looking forward to getting into it a bit more.
Ryan, yes. An energy drink today. Hamish, he's high water. Natural life and your man coming back into the Celtic fold. He's buzzing at that. So yeah, it'll be good fun.
Excellent. We'll get in and talk about that and some other stuff. Whatever you want us to chat about, let us know in the live chat. International breaks are kind of a time for maybe different chat because there's no games immediately that we can look at, although we can, of course, look ahead to the Livingston match as well. Big thanks to MPH Boilers, our sponsors for this video. They've recently become proud Celtic community partners. MPH Boilers are bringing you a special home cover plan offer at the moment. You can get comprehensive coverage for just 99p per month. That's for the first 6 months. This includes everything from annual boiler service to full heating system plumbing and gas supply pipe coverage. After the first 6 months, the plan upgrades to just £25 a month for the remaining 6 months, ensuring your home is always in top condition all year round. If you're interested in the offer, you can message MPH Boilers Facebook page and quote MPH Celtic. You can do the same by phoning them 0800 779 778, and it's a fantastic way to support your home this year. And a big thanks to MPH as always. We shout out for our offer as well. One of yous.
Yep, I'll go on. I'd just like to say thank you to everybody that's joined us so far. I was having a wee look at the statistics last night. Truly an incredible amount of people have joined us over the past week or so. The offer's been on a week now. It is a limited time offer, 6 months of access on the Celtic Way website for just £1. If you do that, then you'll receive a free Kyogo Furuhashi print from renowned football artist made by Frankie. Thank you to everybody that's joined us so far, but we can't continue to do these free videos pre and post match, as well as the morning briefings and pre-recorded videos, without your support and your help. Please sign up for just £1 at www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. And yeah, get involved. There's plenty of good content on there. We've been kept busy over the international break. So if you are looking for your Celtic fix over this international break, then look no further than the Celtic Way. Thank you very much to everybody.
Included in that fix, Tony, is Steve Guppy, who you were chatting to recently.
Was indeed. And as if by magic, there's a link to the Steve Guppy interview there. It's a wonderful insight into what they did when he was his coach at Nashville for a year.
And he talks Alistair about, Johnson.
Alistair Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
And talks about things that they worked on and things that they could improve on and who he thinks he now reminds him of. So it's have a look at it in there, guys. It's excellent stuff from Steve Guppy, and what a lovely fella as well. And I was telling the Nashville press officer leading, I was saying this guy could play football, he had an educated left foot and a wonderful left foot, and she was saying to me, he keeps telling me, you know, and I was like, oh, well, listen to him, you know, and I spoke very highly of him, and he was surprised, one, that I remembered him, and I spoke about him in glowing terms, you know, because I thought he was an excellent footballer, and he was very grateful for that, but he was very kind, and as he spoke away brilliantly about Alistair Johnson. So if you want to have a look at that, that's kind of the stuff that we do on the website. We try and just kind of speak to different people regarding various Celtic players, you know, get the hold of them's the big thing. But I also want to say as well, I know lots of people get annoyed at the start of this when we mention our sponsors and we big up our subscription deal, but it's a huge part of what we do, guys. That's why we do it. So I know people kind of get perturbed and boiler chat keeps getting mentioned, and but we have to mention that they are our sponsors, and we're very grateful to them for that. and it brings in revenue, and so do subscriptions. So that's why we do it. But hey, what's 5 minutes? Eh? And a 35-minute briefing, you know, it's not that much to put up with, is it, guys?
Yeah, we've got plenty of Celtic chat to come as well. So we played St Mirren yesterday at Lennox Town. Real Hatate said to have played 45 minutes. We're not sure if that was the first 45, the second 45. We don't even know if it was a match of 2:45. Sometimes in these matches they like to do thirds, don't they? 30-minute thirds, yeah. Or 3 30-minute thirds. But we do know Hatate played. We don't really know much else. We know that it finished 2-2. A wee Desmond between Celtic and St Mirren. Lager Bielka played. O played. That's a classic one, Ryan. Come on. O Lager Bielka and someone else played. Kobayashi apparently played as well. We don't know who else. You hearing anything else about this game? It's sad days when we're like trying to find out information about a bounce game, but that's what the international break does.
We were laughing off air, weren't we? Because I was saying that Kwon played in the half and half St Mirren and Celtic team. Turned to the left, he was the St Mirren team, and turned to the right, playing for Celtic. So yeah, indeed. But it's just great news to see Hatate, to quote Brendan Rodgers, back out on the grass, but actually on the grass playing football. Isn't it? I mean, Ryan can't contain himself at that thought of him coming into the first team. And you just know that this is a slow build-up to him getting minutes at Livingston, don't you? And that'll be a real welcome sight when he eventually comes back on. The cheer he'll get from the supporters, and just, you know, they've missed him so much. And you're just hoping that he can rediscover anything like the player he was before he got injured. And just something to really look forward to, isn't it? It's what Celtic need, and it's just, he's just coming back at the right time.
Would you start him at Livingston, Ryan? Do you think he'll start?
Everybody knows I'm a fan of him, but I'm not that much of a fan of him that I want him to play the full 90 minutes on a plastic pitch. Let's walk and jog before we can run with regard to Hatate. If he can play 30-40 minutes coming off the bench, preferably when the game is won and he can come on and really strut his stuff, then I'd be delighted. But Celtic, it's not as if Celtic are in an injury crisis with their midfielders at the moment. They've still got players that can do the business and have done the business in this season so far. I know Bernardo's went off the boil a bit, but you know, he's a player that you would expect to do the business away from home against the bottom side, who are all but down, unfortunately for them, I guess. They're so far, I think they're 10 points from Ross County, is it now? So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see just how up for it they will be in that game. But I'm sure they'll be professional and they'll try and believe that they can make a great escape of it. But it'll be a difficult task for them. I think if you can bed Hatate in ever so slowly, but with the game against Rangers in mind, you know, play him 30, 35 minutes, then I think that'd be absolutely brilliant. Even if you'd started him and played him for the first half, if the game was over within 45 minutes, I'd be wrapping him up in cotton wool and getting him ready for that Ibrox game. You know, another week's training and then he should be ready to play the majority of that game. But yeah, as Tony was saying, it's a real shot in the arm hearing that Hatate's back on the football pitch without injuries, because it's been a torrid time for him this season with injuries, the same as Carter Vickers. And when you take Carter Vickers and Hatate out of a team that was so successful last season, two main contributors to that success, the team's obviously going to struggle. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why Celtic have struggled, because that quality, as Brendan Rodgers has talked about, hasn't been available. With the two of them back, hopefully for Ibrox, and let's just remind ourselves that Celtic won those games, both games against Rangers, home and away, without Hatate in and around the team, or Hatate at his best. I'm not sure if he played in September. Was he injured in September when Celtic played?
Yes, he
was.
It was the Aberdeen game. He went off injured at the start of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he had a great 20-minute cameo, because he didn't even start that game.
So we've beaten Rangers twice without Carter Vickers or Hatate.
Yeah, that which is incredible to think that, because they are two members of that spine, that heartbeat of the team. But I just think this would be a different game against Rangers at Ibrox, and you need your best players for this. you know, they have improved under Philippe Clement, and you want Celtic's best players to be in there, and you include the captain, McGregor, in that conglomerate as well. So if you can get those three, that trinity of players playing, I think a lot of people will be feeling a lot more confident than not.
We spoke about it yesterday, Hamish, that spine of the team, that, you know, Hart, Carter Vickers, you know, McGregor, Hatate and Kyogo, there's five players, that's almost half your team. And I think seeing all of those names on the team sheet for Ibrox, Celtic will fancy their chances. The supporters will fancy their chances, even though they won't be there. But you feel 10 times better about yourselves than you did maybe a couple of weeks ago. And just seeing those names, as I say, in that starting 11, you'll be buzzing for that game. And, you know, hopefully the manager is working on stuff just now, you know, to combat what might happen at Ibrox. But obviously got the Livingston game before that, and you have to beat Livingston, and that game presents its own kind of, you know, it's fraught with danger, isn't it? But
yeah,
I think they've coped well with the surface, and I think the only silver lining on that is if Livingston go down, as you get rid of that surface, you know, from the Scottish Premiership, and I think a lot of supporters up and down the country will be delighted at that. It's a shame for Livingston, but they are, what did you say, 10 points adrift, so I think it's an arduous task for them to pull off anything, you know, and it would be a great escape. But I think lots of teams have struggled with that surface, haven't they? So I don't think many people will mourn it going down, will they? Let's be honest.
Yeah, well, it's a game that, you know, as we say, presents its difficulties. I'm just looking up, though. Livingston have won 3 league matches this season out of 30. So, like, it's a tough place to go, and we have struggled there in the past. Not over the last, 3 meetings now, I think. We've kind of battered them in all 3 occasions. So maybe the hoodoos certainly seems to be away. For me, you know, it's a game I want Celtic to, you know, go out and win by a few goals. Ideally, you know, get a chance to get the likes of Hatate on in the second half. To answer my own question, no, I don't think he'll start at Livingston. I'd be surprised. I think he'll play a part. I think he'll come on, as I say, hopefully when the game is won, get some minutes into his legs. Because, I mean, are we all agreed that we want him in the starting lineup for Ibrox, or is that game too soon for any of you?
No, he has to play part of the Livingston game. And I think that's what the manager will have in mind. He plays part of that. He comes into the team, the starting 11 for Ibrox, because
is that enough for a game like Ibrox to play half an hour?
You'll be training constantly. I don't think Celtic will take any unnecessary risk with him. So if he's played a game yesterday, then he's clearly proved his fitness. Now he just needs to get match fit, as they say, because there's a difference between being fit and match fit. Players and managers will tell you that every day of the week. So it's vital and imperative that he plays some part against Livingston, because the thought process will be he's going straight into the team for Ibrox, isn't he? Because I think as well, more than anything else, and his skill levels and all that, nobody's disputing his ability, his technique, but see for his energy levels too. You're going to need that at Ibrox as well. And
he's a calm head as well. He'll hold on to the ball, and that's important, seeing that atmosphere when they're all baying for blood, having a player who can just calm it down like McGregor does.
He's a footballer, right? And he, you know, a real skillful player. So, yeah, you need all of those attributes at Ibrox, especially on an occasion like this. So that's clearly in Brendan Rodgers' mind. And, yeah, so I think he'll play probably half an hour against Livingston. I'm erring on that. And then for me, he comes straight back into the side for Ibrox and see what happens.
Is that the plan, Ryan, you think?
I'd probably put him on the bench for Ibrox. Plot twist there. But I think Iwata's got to start ahead of him for that game. I know. I think Celtic need a natural number 6 for this game. They've certainly employed one over the past few games. And Iwata, probably down to the fact that McGregor's been injured, has elongated that. But I just think every good team has a number 6, has a destroyer. Well, not even a destroyer, but a player that can affect the play from deep. Cal McGregor can do that, maybe against lesser sides. But and yes, he has played well against Rangers in that position, but I'd like to see Iwata play there from the start. And Hatate, if McGregor, I think we're assuming that McGregor will be fit for this Rangers game. I think the midfield three that I would start, and this controversial, but I'd play Iwata, McGregor and O'Reilly at this point in time. I think that midfield three has a nice balance to it, unless you want to go more attacking, then you put Hatate in ahead of Iwata, push Hatate to the number eight and put McGregor to the number six. I know he's had good performances there this season for Celtic in that number six role, but I don't know. I'm toing and froing, because if he's fully match fit, then I have no problem with starting Hatate, but I just think with that balance in the team, Celtic will need a number six, especially going to Ibrox. Very, very difficult place to go to and get a result. I know they did it back in September, but that number six might bring a bit of balance to the midfield. And yeah, but they've got strength regardless in the midfield, and I think he'd be a great sub to bring on. So you've half an hour to go and you need something to happen. Bringing on somebody like Hatate that can really influence the play and get beyond the lines and make things happen. I just think Celtic's strength and depth will show in this game if Hatate's fit. And you've got guys like that to bring on to the team.
I.e. a potential match winner, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's like the secret weapon. He could be the secret weapon that you bring on.
I'm going to Ibrox to win.
Mm-hmm.
If Hatate's fit, he's playing. Because we can win the match with Hatate in the team. Right?
It's not Hatate or Iwata, is it? Hatate can play alongside Iwata.
I'm not saying that you can't win a game with Iwata in the team.
Yeah.
I just think, you know me, I'm a mood music guy. See a team that features a midfield of Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate and Matt O'Reilly. That gives your opposition questions. They're starting to worry. See, if you've got Kuhn and Kyogo as well, you're asking questions. You're saying, we're coming here to ask questions of you. Whereas I think if Iwata's there, then they can say to themselves, we're going to ask questions of you. So I'm not even playing, I'm not even entertaining the notion of a draw at Ibrox. I'm going to win. Because if you win there, you're taking a massive stride to winning the title. So if I'm Rodgers, and I put myself in Rodgers' position, I'm going all guns blazing. I give them something to think about. You know what I mean? Because you're going to have to. And this is when guys like Hatate and your players will step up to the plate. Callum McGregor's done it so many times as well, and especially against Rangers. So I've no qualms about that. I just think that Celtic are going to have to go to Ibrox and produce. And by producing, I mean going out to win that football match and attacking, because I think Rangers can be got at if you attack them.
Yeah, we saw that with Motherwell, didn't we? So if everyone's fit, Tony, you're McGregor, Hatate, O'Reilly.
Yeah.
If everyone's fit and available.
All fit, level playing field. Yep, exactly. Because I think that midfield scares Rangers. Gives them something to think about and a big thing to think about. Whereas I think if Iwata plays, they think they can get a bit of joy, because you can negate somebody like that, can't you? Methinks.
Yeah.
If you put somebody like Lundstrom on or something like that, you know, that kind of thing. Just cancel each other out type thing.
Iwata's a good player. Iwata's a good player, but he's not, for me, at Callum McGregor level. And McGregor's been our standout in that position in those two fixtures this season. So for me, if McGregor is fully fit, and that's a big if because I've got my doubts about that, I would agree with you, Tony. I'd be McGregor, Hatate, O'Reilly. Ryan, who would yours be? And you can let us know in the chat as well what you think if everyone's fit.
I'm fine with either or, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't mind if Celtic go for it in the midfield. I'm just going to take that very political approach and just sit on the fence here. I don't mind. If Iwata's in the team, then brilliant. I've wanted Iwata to play all season. I wanted Celtic to have a number six in there because I felt like sometimes the control of games was getting ahead of Celtic and other teams were getting into games due to the fact there wasn't somebody positioned in that area. I've seen that happening a couple of times before Iwata was brought into the team. It's not really happening as much. I know it was different circumstances at Hearts, but you know, 10 men was always going to be a difficult task. I just think he brings a calmness to the midfield and a more defensive role. It'll be a different game than when Celtic last played Rangers the last two times they played Rangers. They have got better as a team. I know that result against Motherwell sticks out like a sore thumb, but they have stabilised under Philippe Clement. They are going to be dangerous. They've got new signings in there. I'd expect out of those new signings, Diamandi to start, Fabio Silva to start as well. So they're going to be different players to come up against, but I just think Celtic will have players on the bench that can make a massive impact. You know, you look at, regardless of who starts on the right wing as well, by the way, whether it's Kuhn or whether it's Yang, one of those will be on the bench if you're treating it like that, because Maeda will be on the left-hand side. That's an absolute given. Blonde-haired Maeda will be at Ibrox. But one of those two, and Kuhn and Yang, can come onto the pitch after 50, 60 minutes. If it's not happening, you can even bring them on at half-time in place of the other. And that's another roll of the dice. I just think Celtic have this, you know, that's coming, that strength and depth all of a sudden. And Bernardo can come on.
Competition now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's competition for places. It just seems to be a good position for Celtic to be in. And everything seems to be going in the right direction. Yes, they need to take care of Livingston first, but I expect them to do so. And then all roads lead to Ibrox. And if Celtic win that, then they put themselves in a great position, regardless of when Rangers play that rescheduled game against Dundee. It actually suits Celtic because they'll go to Ibrox on top if they beat Livingston. And then by getting that win, if they do get the win at Ibrox, then it'll put them even more in front. And the pressure then goes back to Rangers because they play 3 days later on the Wednesday. So, yeah, positivity just now. We're what? Just about a week and a bit away from that game, or 2 weeks and a bit.
I'm 2.5 weeks.
Far ahead. Yeah, 2.5 weeks. But I'm looking forward to it already. With those players coming back, you know, you're feeling the urge to get to that game already, and let's see what they can do.
You're right to point out that Dundee versus Rangers has been scheduled in for the, I think it's, is it the 10th? Maybe it's the midweek after the derby. So as you say, if we beat Livingston, you know, in 10 days' time, we'll go to Ibrox top. And obviously, if we come away, you know, with a draw or a win, we'll remain top. And the pressure would really be on them at that stage, knowing that they've still got to come to Celtic Park. I think their post-split fixtures are, or should be, maybe a little bit more challenging than ours, whether that actually works out that way or not. But I think they would have to go to Tynecastle. Crack your own jokes at this stage about them going to Tynecastle with Hearts playing for nothing. But the point I'm making is, like, and it's hardly a revelation, but it's a momentous game in terms of the point situation, because if they do beat us, they would go ahead of us and they would still have that game in hand against Dundee. And I think if, you know, they could possibly go like 5 points clear at that stage. But as you say, if we can come away with a positive result from Ibrox, I think the pressure is really on them at this stage. It's really a game that, you know, given that they've lost the two derbies to us already this season, their fans are going to be expecting a win. And if they don't get a win, I think it'll be a really, really horrendous thing for them. So it's a huge game, guys. Anyway, I'm going to wire through a few comments. Steve McGrory must have been at the game yesterday, saying Jamesy played two. O scored, as did one of our B players. O scoring against St Mirren, hardly a big surprise at this stage. I think about 75% of his goals have been against St Mirren. Richard saying Hatate seems to take time to get up to speed after injury. Paul saying, honestly, lads, would you really risk him on that so-called pitch? Craig reckons the spine of the champions returning will be the difference in the league. In terms of the midfield, Maestro going for Bernardo in there with McGregor and O'Reilly, full of running height and punching. Hatate's range of pass, which I think is a very good point. That's something we've kind of missed in the midfield. Could be vital in games like Ibrox. Stephen saying, we're chatting about a match fit and on form Hatate. We can't be sure we'll get that version for Ibrox. And Brian reckons that mistakes can be exploited against Iwata. If Rio is fit, then it's a no-brainer. Tony, your thoughts on any of that?
Yeah, I mean, the colour pass for me is why he'll be in the team. Celtic going to Ibrox to win, so you need to create. It's a creator, isn't he? Bottom line. And this is not a downer on Iwata at all, because I like what Iwata has brought. He's a technically gifted footballer. I'm just talking about asking questions. Hatate will ask questions. Does Iwata ask questions? I'm not so sure, but he's a safe pair of hands. So it depends. Well, but I'm going to win. A draw's not the worst result. A draw's the least I expect, right? Because I'm going to win. So yeah, that's why I'm playing Hitachi. I'm making a statement by saying, we're coming. We've no fans, but we're going to attack you. We're going to ask questions. And if these guys play, if they all turn up, the players that we've mentioned, and play, then we've got a good chance of beating you again for a third time. And we want to make it as difficult as possible for you going down the stretch. And you take a massive stride in retaining your league title if you go to Ibrox and win for a second time this season. And this is not a team that's incapable of doing that. I think they are. And
yeah.
I think the manager's certainly working on things. You know, you can only look to the Livingston game because that's the next one. But I'm sure he's formulating in his head exactly what he's going to do for Ibrox. And I'd be pretty confident that what we're talking about maybe not far off it.
Yeah, I must say, you've kind of got me thinking with some of your thoughts today on... Because I had kind of thought it'd be a given for Iwata to play, but you've kind of convinced me that, you know, the big question is, what is the state of Hitachi and McGregor? But if they are fit, you know, they just would give us a lot in that fixture. Steve pointing out Daisen Maeda starts for Japan today. I do see they've just scored 1-0 up against North Korea. It wasn't Maeda, it was Tanaka that scored. But Maeda's playing, so we'll keep an eye out for his fortunes. Just on the fan situation for the derby, Tony, you've mentioned a couple of times we won't have fans there. Is that going to be the case? Because I've kind of not been following it. Because there had been murmurings about us actually getting a decent whack of tickets, but was that all nonsense?
No, I think they've decided that we won't, unless something happens in the next couple of weeks and they get around the table again and sort it. But I think it's been accepted that there's not going to be any fans there. So, but Celtic have won before with a small contingent of fans and the one with no fans, so it holds no fear for the team or the manager. And that's why I think you know, it's not a situation that's new to them, it's not a new experience for them, you know. So, and it was the weirdest experience the last time covering that when Kyogo scored. But it was I think I've said before, I was sitting in the press box and when Kyogo scored, I mean, it was just like hush, but I've let out a kind of what a goal that was. It's kind of travelled a wee bit, you know, but I was just reacting to what I watched and what I witnessed.
People won't know, but you have Rangers fans right behind you, actually in the press box.
Of course. I mean, nobody said anything and enough, but I was
scared of you.
I was kind of reminded of somebody next to me said to me, "Don't I remember your surroundings?" I was like, "Yeah, you're right." It's a very good point, well made. Zip it. But you know, you're reacting as if you're either, you know, watching it on the tell or whatever. But it was just a normal reaction because I thought it was a cracking goal as well. So I was as animated as I could be sitting in a chair, you know. Yeah. So it's just like calm it down. But yeah. But I think Celtic players knew, to quote Ryan, they understood the assignment that day. And I think, again, they're going to travel to Ibrox knowing full well. And regardless if the manager is trackside or not, I don't think that'll have a huge bearing on anything because everything will be discussed beforehand. And they'll know, the players will know exactly what to do.
I remember doing a Rangers versus Falkirk game a number of years ago when Rangers were in the championship, and I was doing some work for Falkirk, and I had my laptop out, and I was just bringing my laptop out, and I remembered at the last minute that my wallpaper was the Celtic huddle. And as I say, you literally have that lot behind you when you're in the press box, and I remembered at the last minute to turn my brightness down and get rid of that. But that's my wee story. Ryan, Livingston up first. We should probably mention that. And it's going to be a long build-up to that game.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rangers have got Hibs the day before. Now, and I know that they beat Hibs the last time they played in the Scottish Cup, but I think that'll be a difficult game for Rangers to navigate. Hibs are one of those teams that you'd maybe expect to do something against Rangers potentially, especially with their front line that they've their forward line that they've got at the moment. They've got really good loan players that seem to be doing the business for them. So that result's not a given either. There's pressure on both teams regardless of who they play. But Livingston on Sunday, it'd be great to be going into that game if Rangers had dropped points the day before. But regardless, Celtic have just got to continue doing what they're doing, keep on getting those wins, and just build up a bit of steam ahead of the Rangers game. In terms of the fans, it's something that needs to be sorted out long term. I don't think this can go on another season between the no fans. And I think there needs to be some intervention in some form, whether that's the broadcasters or the governing bodies, to sort this out, because it's a sideshow that needs to stop, in my opinion. Both sides
just need to grow up.
Everybody just needs to, something needs to happen between the two sides. I don't know what that entails. Does that entail an olive branch from Celtic? I'm not sure, but it's a sideshow that needs to stop. It's been going on for far too long now. Let's get the derby back to what it was, safety permitting, of course, but get it back to what it was before, because it's diluted in this way. There's got to be fans from both sections. That's what makes a derby a derby. It's not really a derby when you don't have the opposition fans at the game, is it? You need to have that, you know, that actual sense of a rivalry between the two sides, and it's the supporters that bring that out. So yeah, I don't think anything will change in the final two games between the two sides, but I think in the summer going into the new season, something's got to give with this, because I don't think it's necessarily a good look for the game from the outside looking in when no fans can get to, you know, arguably, not even arguably, it's the biggest fixture on the Scottish football calendar. So yeah, something's got to give, but ran over for me, I guess.
Yeah. Anything else, Tony? And then we'll head off.
I agree with yourself. I've written about it, and I'd say I would continue to post it up when the ticket dilemma and fiasco was brought up. One club started this, and it's time everybody, you know, and I think Celtic have tried to end it a few times, but you know, there's one adult in the room at all times during this. And you either, I've said before and I made the reference, I'm a small faces man, all or nothing. Basically, that's it. You know, get back to all or nothing. And, you know, there's a club that's willing to allow fans in, and there's a club that's unwilling to let fans in at this minute in time. And until heads are locked together, the impasse will remain. And it's sad because it does dilute it as a spectacle. It's a wonderful fixture. It's a wonderful fixture when both sets of supporters can enjoy it. And I think there's a lots of Rangers fans out there as well that feel the same way as you and I, that they want their fans to be represented at that.
There are.
The football match. You know, it is getting petty now. But again, go back to it. It was started because, one club started it. Let's be honest. And as I referenced in the piece as well, it was after the Edward game, wasn't it? When Edward scored 10 men, Celtic won 3-2 at Ibrox. And Ian Crocker said that memorable line, the message from Celtic is keep your distance, Rangers, keep your distance. And I mentioned that. And if you're not going to give Celtic the 7,500, then keep your distance, or something approximating that, a decent percentage. You know, because 700 or 800 is no use for either set of clubs. And I think a lot of Rangers supporters are on board with that now as well. They want to see their club represented at away fixtures in the derbies. And, you know, something has to give. Whether Sky get involved, whether the authorities get involved, then fine. But I think there has to be some kind of progress on that impasse starting next season.
It's a great point. Sorry. I'll make this as quick as I can. Smell the Glove made a great point. It's not even necessarily a derby. I would say it's just a rivalry between the two teams. But Liverpool had 9,000 at Old Trafford, and it made it a much better game to watch. Roy Keane was even talking about it after the game. He said the atmosphere felt different between the two sides because there was two fans, and you could hear the difference between the two supporters and their cheering on of their respective teams. Rivalry is what makes these games, this rivalry. I just wanted to get back to what it was, not to sound too much like Trump or that, but make the Derby great again. With the, yeah, that's
are we having that, Hamish?
It's just, it's sad that it's come to this, to be honest. So it's a low point. We better just head off and hope that, that folk return tomorrow. But honestly, I wouldn't blame you if you don't. Right, thanks, guys.
Hamish, I'll put that, that's the article there. I put it in the comments if you haven't read it. It's about time Celtic called Rangers Derby tickets bluff. I still stand by everything that's said in that article.
Do you just have articles ready to go? It's very quick and impressive. I don't know how you did that.
Ryan taught me everything I know, technology wise. So
it's not, it's not a good thing if I'm teaching you, Tony.
Incredible. Right. Appreciate it, guys. Appreciate your time. Thanks, everyone, once again for tuning in, interacting. Even those of you who watch later in the day when we're not live, we appreciate your support for the channel and everything we do. So thanks very much, everyone. Back tomorrow.